Well, welcome everybody. This morning we have a cozy small group. Can everyone hear me? Yeah, great. So it's wonderful to be with you as always. I love that we continue to support each other in our Jewish meditation mindfulness practice journey that we've been on for many years together. And I love that we co-create this sacred spiritual place that nourishes us every week. Ma tovu. It's so good to be here with all of you. So before I speak about the Parsha, one, I want to dedicate this teaching to two TBZ members who passed away this past week. One is Mark Blosher of blessed memory, who I didn't know very well, but was associated with Nishmat Hayim occasionally when we were meeting in person. He was a social worker and counselor at the Boston Latin School, and I'm sure there are wonderful stories that were told about Mark during the funeral and at Shiva, but unfortunately, maybe Enid could share some with us later, but unfortunately I was unable to attend either one. The other person I'd like to acknowledge is Bill Gates of blessed memory, who passed away last Friday. And I was able to attend his funeral and be at one of the Shiva nights. Bill attended our Friday AM Nishmat Hayim sit regularly when we held them in person. Those good old days when we held them in person at the TBZ Sanctuary. For about 1 or 2 years when we began to hold our sessions on Zoom. He was a wonderful presence at our sits and always offered wisdom and insightful psychological commentary to our teachings and the Parsha. As a professional, he was a psychiatrist, so he had great psychological insight to everything. At both the funeral and Shiva, I heard endearing stories about him. And one took me by surprise, so I'd like to share it with all of you. For about 10 years, Bill and his friend Joe Reamer went hiking together for about a week in one of the national parks out west. And Joe described how he would travel with one suitcase on the plane and how Bill would travel with several suitcases that held all his paraphernalia that he needed for the hikes, which included various walking sticks, binoculars of different sizes and types, prayer books, a chumash, lots of classical music tapes, plus of course his clothing and toiletries. And aside from having a great time hiking, Bill's favorite part of the week was sitting by this famous amazing waterfall, which I do not know the name of, on Friday night and reciting Kabbalat Shabbat services right there in front of the waterfall. That was the highlight of Bill's hiking trip. The story was heartfelt and all who attended learned a new side of Bill that was unknown before. And as Rav Tiferet, who led the Shiva service, said, tonight and during the 7 days of Shiva and beyond, we will learn the Torah of Bill as we listen to an array of stories from all different people who knew and loved him. So it just, stories are important. It's the stories that keep our loved ones alive when we tell stories of them and how they were in our lives and how we experienced them and how we miss them. So this is a great segue to this week's Parsha Balak, which includes the famous story of Bilam. The chant that we heard at the beginning of this session, Ma Tovu, Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. These are the words that Bilam, a non-Israelite prophet hired by King Balak of Moab, hired to curse the Israelites, ends up saying. Rather than a curse, Bilam says a blessing. He compares Israel's blessedness to winding brooks, gardens of the river's side like aloes, which the Lord has planted, and cedar trees beside the waters. Balaam speaks only the word and intentions of God. He's unable to speak the curses that he was hired to speak. He was overcome with awe and spoke those words with praise. The words also imply a unique expression of reverence for the physical space of worship, recognizing it as a place of sanctity and connection, both for the divine and for the community. The words tents and dwellings in the prayer's opening line have been interpreted by the Talmud to refer to both the physical homes and the communal institutions of the Jewish people, such as synagogues and study halls, which highlights the importance of both the private realm of the Jewish home in fostering values and traditions, and the communal spaces that provide for the collective prayer, learning, and engagement with the community. It's a call to live a life that reflects and inspires goodness to the world at large. And this goodness is also something that we cultivate when we meditate. Our practice helps us to further cultivate loving kindness and compassion, which brings goodness into our lives and into the world. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory, in his assessment of Balaam's actions, references Maimonides, the 11th century scholar, who explains that all God's acts have a moral message for us. Sacks continues when he says, "I believe that God is teaching us that love can turn curses into blessings. It is the only force capable of defeating hate. Love heals the wounds of the world. Often in today's world, we are instructed to be consumed by our fear that can nudge us to think in binary terms of us versus them, to love only our own, to fear the other, or to see individuals solely as a means to an end, vendors, employees, even members of our own family, for whom we do deeds for whatever riches we may receive in return." In this parsha, the Torah advises us to listen to our hearts, to use our own wizardry to bless others, and to see the ma tovu, how good and goodness and love are in each individual. Just as Balaam, with God's help, blessed the Israelites, so too we can embrace transformation over transactions in our relationships with others, seeing them as B'Tselem Elohim, and knowing that we are intimately or innately programmed to love and bless. Sacks goes on to say, "May we in our beautiful and challenging world," though it's not so beautiful and challenging, it's not so beautiful now, but it is challenging, "lean to love, trust our goodly perspectives, listen to our hearts, and lead by offering blessings to all with whom we engage." Another part of the Balaam story that's fascinating is the angel appearing to the donkey and the donkey talking. First in the verse, chapter 22, verse 22 to 23, God was incensed about Balaam's journey, his journey to curse the Israelites. So an angel of God took a position in Balaam's way as an adversary. Balaam was riding on his donkey with his two servants alongside, and the donkey saw the angel of God standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey swerved from the road and went into the fields. And Balaam beat the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Balaam did not see the angel. Once more, the angel of God moved forward and stationed himself on a spot so narrow that there was no room to swerve right or left. When the donkey now saw the angel of God, she lay down under Balaam. Rather than moving away, she just gave up. And Balaam was furious and beat the donkey with his stick. Bilam, who obviously cannot see the angel, is given another chance to detect the supernatural divine entity through his donkey's behavior. But he is a man on a predetermined mission and will tolerate no diversions, says Rabbi Tali Adler of Hadar. She goes on to say that Bilam does not respond to the unusual with curiosity or compassion. Instead, he responds with anger, attempting to use violence to force the world to behave as it usually does, or as he wants it to behave. Then God opens the donkey's mouth, and she said to Bilam, "What have I done to you that you've beaten me these three times?" The donkey says to Bilam, "Look, I am the donkey that you've been riding all along until this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" So Bilam's flaw is he does not wonder why the creature he has worked with for so long is suddenly behaving in a new way. It's just like totally beyond him. Instead, he uses violence to assert his will, trying to get her to behave as he wants her to or as he requires her to. Neither relationship nor surprise have a role within Bilam's world. Our meditation practice brings us in touch with our feelings so that these feelings do not take over our actions. Our practice cultivates what the Buddhists call right action and right thought. Our breath is the anchor that allows us to be in touch with our feelings, but not necessarily act on them or be overwhelmed by them. We become aware of them and then curious as to their arising during our meditation. Just as the Torah demands that we come to it with curiosity, we should also approach life with curiosity. Torah asks that we be willing to see the unexpected, to have our preconceived ideas upended. Life asks us the same, to see the unexpected in ordinary everyday life, just as Moses saw the burning bush while walking up the mountain. It's an overture from God, the divine, that offers new possibilities to those who have the curiosity and the courage to notice the unexpected. Rabbi Tali Adler of Hadar says true Torah study begins when we say, "Let me turn aside and see." And this is Rabbi Shefa Gold's interpretation of the Bilam story. She says, three times a divine angel with sword in hand appears in Bilam's donkey, who obediently changes her course in response. Each time, Bilam, losing his temper, beats the poor donkey with a stick. Finally, she speaks to him, saying, "What have I done that you treat me this way?" And only then are Bilam's eyes open. He sees the angel his donkey has seen all along, and he bows to the ground. Again, Bilam is told to continue on his journey, but is reminded again to pay careful attention to the word of God. And now the mystery of God's anger is revealed. God is saying, "You must pay attention to my word as it appears in each step of your journey. My word comes to you through the wisdom of your body, the donkey that has carried you so loyally all these years, through the details of your embodied life, through all your worldly senses. Here is how I address you now, and not only in dreams or visions. Through the story of Bilam and his talking donkey, God expands for us the meaning of prophecy." Rabbi Shefa Gold goes on to say, when Bilam's eyes are open, he can really pay attention, and profound words of blessings can flow through him. Three times the flow of blessing and prophecy pours forth, as if to atone for the sin of the beating of the donkey three times, ignoring the divine wisdom of the body. As the flow of prophecy begins, Bilam falls to the ground, his eyes unveiled. As we touch the earth, honoring our earthiness, and stay true to the word of God as it is spoken through us, the donkey part of us, so to speak, the same it was spoken through the donkey, then we will be able to transmit words and visions of goodness and victory to the world. She goes on to say, through the marriage of body and spirit, prophecy is born. The spiritual challenge of the Torah portion, Balak, is to listen to the word of God, to the voice of the body, to the voice of the embodied divinity that surrounds us each moment, that permeates our world at each step of our journey. Psalm 95 says, Hayom im biko lo tishma'u. Today, if only you would hear God's voice. God's voice is manifest in the here and now of the ordinary details of our lives, and we will hear it if we pay attention. We are challenged to receive God's, the divine's voice in the sound of this world, in the voice of a friend, an animal, the wind, or the body that has been carrying us so loyally all these years. We are challenged to wake up to whatever has been occurring below our range of awareness, whatever we have dismissed as unworthy or undeserving of our attention. It is there that the word of God, the divine, must be discerned. Throughout the parsha, we're reminded of the importance of cultivating mindfulness, awareness, compassion, the potential for wisdom to arise from unexpected sources, and the need to be present in the given moment. It underscores the importance of overcoming harmful intentions, i.e. Bilam's, and recognizing the interconnectedness of all beings. Our internal state, as well as our outward actions, whether motivated by love or hate, have consequences that not only shape one's experience, but the world around them. The Parsha encourages us to find ways to transform negative experiences, thoughts, or situations into positive ones, both for ourselves and for others. The importance of seeing the other with a good eye and embracing love. The narrative emphasizes the need to move beyond fear and judgment, as Balak's fear of the Israelites led him to seek their destruction. Instead, the Parsha encourages us to see the inherent goodness in everyone and embrace transformation. So I have some blessings to end with. May we use our words intentionally to uplift and bring positivity to ourselves and others, rather than engaging in negative or harmful speech. May we embrace and understand our feelings rather than being reactive. May we embrace positive speech and blessings always. May we cultivate attention to detail and pay close attention to the sensory experiences of our lives, recognizing that the divine can be found in everyday life. May we continue to be curious, compassionate, interconnected, and loving. And may we spread goodwill and kindness to as many people as possible. May the source of strength who blessed the ones before us help us find the courage to make our lives a blessing. And let us say, Amen. Ve Amen.